Father, please let us enter into this chapter with our soul instead of our mind. This is chapter 30, called Reality Experienced, of the 1955 Kaluas Study Series. We're going to attempt to enter into this consciousness. This is the chapter, I feel, that will make or break you. So let us take it very seriously. And above all, today, tonight, let each of us be completely, absolutely honest with ourselves. Please, no more fooling ourselves about what we might have attained. Let's listen honestly. Reality, says Joel, is a synonym for the word God. And in some cases, and at some periods of our development, may be a very satisfactory word to use for God. There is no such thing as unreality, because there is no opposite to God. Therefore, we understand that unreality means nothing. I see this in several places in the Infinite Way. I see where he says that mortal mind was a term which was meant to mean nothing, nothingness. And yet he hears people say all the time, look what mortal mind is doing to me. So it's a misunderstanding. If mortal mind is a nothing, then, of course, how could you believe it's doing something to you? There would have to be an it. And here he's repeating the same thing when he says he's run into people that say, I have to overcome this unreality. Well, there is nothing unreal to be overcome. There is no state of unreality to be overcome. Then he gives us the example of 2 times 2 is 5. Now, it's very important that we take that into repeatedly into our meditations until we come to the actual feel of what he's discussing. Please do not just read over these 3 paragraphs and feel that you, well, yeah, I understand that. Because you don't. If you did, really did, let's say we, I'm going to include myself in there. If we really understood that, we would have no lack or limitation, no sickness, no loneliness. But the fact that we still suffer those, even if it's only to a minor degree, means we haven't come to an understanding of this. Otherwise, we would be able to dismiss the hypnotism, the mesmerism, universal beliefs, unreality, as nothingness. Mortal mind as nothingness. I mean, not intellectually sitting down and saying, well, that's nothingness, while you're in pain. I mean, really seeing deeply, hey, I don't have to work on this. This is like so much blank air. There is no it to work on. Really enter into this. Take this into your meditation, these paragraphs here. There's no such thing as unreality. So why are you devoting your life to overcoming it? You've missed something if you're doing that. And we're all doing that. That's why we're studying this, right? All right. That should be several months of meditations. Months. Until you really get the feel, the inner feel of the nothingness. And I don't mean the inner think. That just doesn't do it. All right. Now, I'm speaking to myself as much as I'm speaking to you. And when I speak to myself, I sometimes sound kind of, you know, just do it. What's the matter with you? So, but it's, this should be really seriously considered. If you still have these problems, you're missing something. All right, we'll get to more of that later. When you have said God is infinite, or reality is the only true being, you have, in that, done all the overcoming of error that is necessary. Or, if you state it negatively, the evidence of the senses is unreal. Well, that's the overcoming. There's nothing left to do. All right. Now, he's saying that with the consciousness that knows the nothingness of what the senses are showing you. In other words, he is saying that with a consciousness that knows that if you, everything you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is nothing. Furthermore, it's not out there. What you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell are concepts or mental images. Now don't, because you understand that and can write that down in a letter, don't think you understand that. Obviously, we need to go much, much deeper than we ever have before with these truths. So he's saying this when he says there's nothing left to do. He's saying this because he has spent the months working with it until he really does feel, he has the intuitive feeling, and more than that, he has the soul perception that it's nothing. Not it's something and I need to go to God and get it fixed. Not, well, it's nothing, but God will still fix it if I pray right. No. He's able to look at it and dismiss it. The work he does is not in the area of any repairing or healing or fixing. The work is in a totally different area. And I wrote here in the margin, our work is really dismissing the appearance. And that's it. That's the end of our work. There's no answer to this. Means I'm dismissing it. And then we make the contact. It's all about reaction. You can't see a child with a broken finger and immediately become concerned about their welfare and, oh my God, look at this, and what am I supposed to do? Oh, I've forgotten. Well, you've already lost it at that point. You have to develop, through working, through entering into these principles, the consciousness can look at that and see no difference in that picture than you see when you see lovely snowflakes falling to the ground. You've got to be able to look at both of them and be unmoved. Unmoved. Not bad and not good. Totally unmoved. And in that unmovingness, you turn within and make the contact. Now that's our job, that's our work. Until we can do that, we will continue to have problems because we haven't developed the consciousness. So he says, unreality is not a condition. Unreality is a nothingness. So we should be done with it. The minute we look at it and say nothingness, there should be a feeling behind that word we're saying or thinking. It shouldn't be just a parroting. 2 times 2 is 4. 3 times 3 is 9. 4 times 4 is 16. See, there's no feeling behind that. That's an automatic conditioned response in my mind, which I learned in my formative years. There's no consciousness behind it. We do the same thing. We look at a problem and we say nothingness. There's no consciousness behind it. Yes, it's an automatic response from reading these words for so many years, but what does it heal? Nada. There's no consciousness behind it. This study series is all about how to develop that consciousness so that when you say nothingness, it's God saying it. It's Christ saying it. And when Christ says it, it is nothingness. In the presence of that Christ, if you're saying it, it's nada. It's words, thoughts. It's meaningless, gibberish. Okay. So, unreality is a nothingness. After that, even though the appearance remains, don't do anything about it. Don't do anything about it. But you have to do something. Well, what? What are you supposed to do? You are supposed to do something about resting. Do something about making the contact. Do something about feeling this actual presence within you. It's not going to be you that heals something by looking at it and saying nothing. Ever. It's going to be you turning away from it after you've intellectually said nothingness, turning within, resting back like you did for your 12 times a day, and making the contact. And then when God within you says nothingness, which it might say by giving you the feeling of omnipresence, the actual feeling of it now, the glimpse of it, then God has spoken and it dissolves. That's how healing comes about. But if the mere statement that all erroneous conditions and appearances are unreal were sufficient, then all classes in spiritual wisdom would end on the first day of class, because you can teach that, as he has said before, in 15 minutes. But even after you've intellectually accepted it, and he says that's quite a step forward, because some people can't even do that, but more is required. Hearing it and reading it is not demonstrating it. There is yet the other point. And we should know by now, if you put a title on this Kahlua study series, you could call the whole thing Making the Contact, couldn't you? All right, here's where we need to be honest, right here. You put a little star next to this. But hearing it and reading it is not demonstrating it. There is yet the other point. Now, look at your own life and those that have turned to you for help. If they're not getting help, if your own life has these reoccurring problems, You're not demonstrating it. Please don't fool yourself because you know the words, or you can get a little bit quiet and experience a little bit of peace. That's not demonstrating the Christ. There's only one demonstration of the Christ, and that's resting, feeling the actual presence, having a glimpse of omnipresence or omnipotence, omniscience. Actually standing in it, having the awareness of it, if only for a moment. And then the resulting harmony which appears out here. That is the complete demonstration. If you are still, let's say you still have habits. Habits of favorite foods, or habits of smoking, or habits of overeating, or habits of,
just
pick any of them. Habits of being critical, let's say, with other people. If you have those things, you haven't demonstrated this. Stop kidding yourself. The complete demonstration means the actual feeling of a transcendental presence and the resulting harmony, freedom from limitation, freedom from these habits, from human nature, and harmony appearing out here. Now the two go together. You know it by its fruits. If the fruits aren't there, you're not going deep enough. You're still only knowing this mentally. I don't care how peaceful you think you're feeling. If the fruits aren't there, you haven't gone deep enough. So, the world, he says, doesn't realize that there is something called reality, which is still another power. And it is as concrete as electric power or atomic power. But like these, a contact must be made. And that's what we're talking about. A contact must be made. You know, he says, well, we'll get to that in a minute. So, with this power called God or reality actually exists, and it exists as concretely as electricity, atomic force, or gas, hydrogen. But like these, it must be contacted. This is contacted through the spirit or soul. So you see, we know we can't contact this God or reality or spiritual power which dissolves these images out here. I mean, these images appearing to be out here. We know we can't contact that with our bodies. And we have learned through long years of attempts, and maybe finally now being honest enough with ourselves that we can say, you know, I can't reach it with the mind either. Something else is going to have to happen. I may not even know how to bring that about, but I know I can't do it the way I've been doing it. I'm still broke. I'm still struggling to make ends meet. I still have this physical problem. I'm still smoking. I'm still swearing at people when I'm driving down the highway and they cut me off. I'm still have this physical problem. I still can't get along with people enough to live with them. I still have problems with my fellow employees. I still have problems on the list with certain people. So I haven't contacted it. I've been fooling myself. All right. Now, the other thing we've learned at this point in our development is our work is never on the appearance. We're never going to change the appearance. Our work is never going to be in that direction. Never. Our work is in making the contact. Your whole being now should be one motivation. How do I make the contact? I haven't made it. Or maybe I've made it for a second or two back in 1985. But I need to make it where it's an open door. And I can go to that well daily. So reality is a concrete fact, a truth. It's an actual entity, an identity, which we, you and I, can avail ourselves of, but not through the body and not through the mind. No, not through the body, nor is there any mental exercise that will help one attain it. But by turning frequently to this area of reality within, eventually reality breaks through. By contemplating the invisible and intangible, the soul faculty is awakened. Now he says here, I'll read it to you. We read it together before, but it's a good time to look at it again. If it is necessary, well, he says, we are sitting here in our meditation waiting until the voice of God utters itself within us. And if it doesn't come in 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, we again get up and go about our business, and 2 or 3 hours later we do it again. You remember that? But now he says, if it is necessary, we keep this up for 1 or 2 or 3 years, if so be that the Christ is so absent from us that it takes us that long to realize it. But you may be assured of this. If you persist, the day will come when an inner response will come that will give you the assurance of a He that is within you, that which the Master called the Father within, and that which Paul called the Christ. You will get the feeling, that assurance, and when you do, you will have demonstrated your Christ self. And some form of harmony will appear out here. The two will go together. So, where are we? We know that for many, many years, we've used these truths intellectually. We've known them well enough to pass the test, but somehow we've never gone deep enough to demonstrate the Christ by the internal experience of the Christ and the appearing of harmony out here. Because it hasn't happened. It hasn't happened. At best, we had a few minutes of peace, or maybe we had a glimpse back in 96. But we have not developed this capacity to go within. So, we came across this Kai Lua study series, and something about it called to us. And we find that this could be titled Making the Contact. And now we are at the place where we realize nothing we do with our bodies can solve a problem appearing out here. And nothing we do with our minds can solve the problem. And nothing we do with our minds, no amount of truth we have ever thought, can reach this transcendental presence. It's almost like there's a wall, a veil, and we can't quite touch it. So he says, taking what you learn here and have learned in making your meditations 12 times a day and meeting every discordant picture with no answer to this, and then going within and waiting, he says, now, if you will persist at that, even if it takes 2 or 3 years, you will make the contact. But I am cautioning you, you won't make the contact if you lie to yourself, if you fool yourself that you've made the contact when you actually haven't yet. And I'm also here to say, if you still have these external problems, you haven't made the contact, because the contact with the real transcendental presence dissolves the problems and appears as harmony out here. The two go together. That's the function of the Christ. Remember? What's your job, Christ? Well, I am ordained to heal the sick, raise the dead, set it free, set at liberty the captives. Now, when you experience the Christ, one of those things is going to happen. The two go together. Christ is that. So if it hasn't happened, for God's sake, at this point in your development, if you don't want to spend another 10 years here spinning your wheels and wonder why you're dying of cancer, for God's sake, please be honest and say, well, I haven't made contact yet. I had a glimpse here and there, and I sometimes enjoy a little peace of mind when I repeat these things in my mind over and over again as I'm trying to get still, but no, I haven't yet made the contact, not on a consistent basis. So I'm going to do this even if it takes 2 or 3 years. What am I going to do? I'm going to have 12 times a day where I turn within and I simply rest back in something that reminds me that I can't do anything. Thy grace is my sufficiency, or of myself I am nothing, or Father, you speak, thy servant heareth. And I'm going to rest there for 3 to 4 minutes, waiting. Then, whenever I'm about my business and there's a discordant picture that comes to me, I'm also going to do the same with that. I'm going to say, no answer to this. I'm going to grit my teeth and not know any truth at all with my mind. I'm going to stand stock still and wait upon this invisible presence. And I'm going to have one period a day in which I sit down simply to make the contact for no reason than to commune with Christ or to commune with God or to commune with Spirit. And now in this chapter, he's going to give you something else to do in the middle of the night. And all of this, if you really want God and not just to be fooled for another lifetime of mental practices, believing that you have it, if you really want the real Christ that heals you and those around you, then you will do this for 2 or 3 years until you make the contact and it begins to function you. I wish there was another way, but there isn't. Straight is the way and narrow is the path, and few there be that find it. Now you've been introduced to it. You're at the doorway. You're at the head of the path. Whether you walk it or not, we'll know in 2 or 3 years, won't we? Okay, so that's where I'm standing, and I'm sure that some of you are too. So let's see what the rest of this chapter has to tell us about this. We frankly declare all that is here before me is nothingness. Nothingness. No presence, no power, nothingness. You see nothing. Now he's talking about the senses. He's talking about everything in your life. That's why I say you have to live with this until it makes you really uncomfortable, and then you make the breakthrough. You go beyond the mind looking at this. You have to look at it that deeply. He's telling you, if you see it, hear it, taste it, touch it, and smell it, it's nothingness. Why? We know that's true. But we haven't entered into this. In your contemplation periods, you must recognize That man you're married to, that lady you're married to, is nothingness. Those children you're so fond of are nothingness. Those parents, those grandparents, nothingness. Those neighbors, nothingness. This candidate, that candidate for presidency, nothingness. This country, that country, nothingness. This planet, these mountains, these trees, these clouds, nothingness. This grass, the stars, nothingness. My body, nothingness. If the senses are reporting it to you, it's nothingness. You've been living an entire dream life in a world of nothingness, entertained in your mind. You've been living an entire dream life in a body entertained in your mind. Your entire lifetime has been a nothingness. You have been that much asleep. You have never left the confines of the human mind, because that's where all these concepts are. No illusion is ever externalized. No illusion is ever externalized. You've never left the mind. That's what he's saying right here. We frankly declare all that is here before us is nothingness. Nothingness. No presence, no power, nothingness. You see nothing. Hear nothing, taste nothing, smell nothing, touch nothing. There's nothing here. Well, now, you can't get it any plainer than that. Well, let's just forget that an hour from now and go have a piece of strawberry shortcake and indulge our senses and forget about all this. Let's go play a game of bridge with our neighbors. Can't handle this. Well, you better enter into this, because it's the way. It's the way to awaken out of the mind. It's the way to awaken out of that mind and make contact with your soul. And perhaps live and see and perceive a whole another universe for the first time. So, we already have enough developed soul sense, everyone in this room has it, to enable us to admit, yes, it's true. I cannot hear anything, see anything, taste, touch, or smell anything. Yet I know there is something there, because I know that if there is one among us who has contacted it, all the rest of us can be freed of this, that, or the other discord. Yeah. Your senses, all of your senses, which make up your human mind in their totality, cannot know God, because that, my dear friends, is the natural man. Yet, those of us on this path, if we have had a glimpse, we know there's something. There's something. With a capital S, he says. But that's perhaps as far as we've gotten. We're still living in this limited human mind with all of its beliefs in good and evil. The eye looks over there and sees that, all that's taking place in the mind. I smell those fudge brownies coming out of the oven. All that's taking place in the mind. I see them beating their dog. All that's taking place in the mind. I see him gassing his own people and killing them. All of that's taking place in the mind. I hear the sound of that tornado coming right down the street. It's taking place in the mind. I feel the tremor of this earthquake. It's taking place in the mind. Don't you see? Not just one lifetime. Hundreds, maybe even thousands. You've never left the cage of the human mind. My God, I want to awaken. Help us, Father, to awaken. Here comes a man. This man right here, Joel Goldsmith. Above this sense life, he tells us in another book, there is a universe, a spiritual universe. It's real. It's eternal. Peopled by the children of God, a universe governed by love. That's what we come into as we awaken out of the mind. But we can't hang on to the mind and awaken out of it too. We can't say, well, I want to keep these beautiful images of my wonderful grandchildren, but I also want to know that God's the only presence. You can't have them both. If you can't let go, you're not willing to let go, you're not ready, go back to the world for a while. Christ will still be here when you're ready. But if you are ready, now is going to require more honesty than you've ever used. So much so that you might want to say, Father, show me where I'm lying to myself. Because I can't see it. So wrapped up am I in these human thoughts. It's going to require more honesty than you have. To say, I haven't made the contact, I'm not waking up, I'm still stuck in good and evil, I still have these problems, I still see good people, God, help me wake up. Now what does he say to do? Okay, I am going to practice this 12 times a day when I'm confronted with discordant conditions. I'm going to practice this when one period a day just to be still, I don't know why. Just to let something out if it ever comes. And now, according to this chapter, if you've read it, I'm going to also practice this in the middle of the night. So devoted am I going to be to make this contact, which is the only thing that will awaken me out of the prison of my mind. Every one of us can drop from mental, physical, moral, or financial ill if only one of us has access to that reality, the consciousness of reality. One Christ can lift a million people. That which we call Christ, God, or reality is the infinite invisible. It is the something with a capital S, and something which you will never know. You will never know it. You may experience it. You probably will. You can experience it, and you can see its fruitage, but you can never know it. You can never know it itself. See, the human mind won't help you anymore. Perhaps for thousands of years it did. Now it won't help you. Oh, it helped you learn the letter of truth and then get trapped into thinking that was sufficient. It won't help you any further on the path. It must be set aside to enter this next realm. Now, you're not going to throw it away. You're still going to use it to drive your car and balance your checkbooks, cook by reading the recipe book. But it's not going to help you anymore in your inner life. It must be set aside. So, only the Father knows the Father. Only God knows itself. In those moments, when physically and mentally we are at peace, in that moment, God is experienced. Reality is experienced. This presence and power is experienced, and then it exterminates error from our experience. So there you have it again. There's two parts. You can't say, well, you know, I'm having a really good inner meditations. I'm really feeling this presence. But I just can't seem to get over this physical problem. I'm really feeling this presence. But I just can't quit smoking right now. It's too much of an addiction. I'm just really feeling this presence. I can't seem to make enough money to pay my bills. They're repossessing this, or I might have to give that back. No, that's a lie. You must be brave enough to admit it. And it's not that big a deal. All we're admitting is that we haven't yet made the contact. Deeply enough and consistently enough. That's why we're studying this. That's why I'm studying this. Now, so, when God is experienced, when the presence and power is really experienced, it will exterminate error from your experience. Let us think of the word reality as meaning this infinite invisible substance, presence, power, or law. Let us not try to know it, but rather to experience it. And then he starts to say, contemplate within the fact that out of nothingness, well, then he gives us the examples of which came first, the chicken and the egg. In the end, you will arrive at the right place where you ought to be and want to be, which is no place, experiencing nothing, no thing. By contemplating this, you will find yourself suspended in the air, trying to find the answer, which came first, the chicken or the egg. Contemplating reality from the standpoint of where did creation come from? He said you should contemplate that original passage of Scripture that the crops were in the ground before the seeds. And so contemplating that, you are contemplating reality, and you will ultimately be led back to a blank wall that is called nothingness. Now, if you're familiar with the Zen Buddhists, the masters always gave their students something called a koan. And the koan was, well, the most famous one is, what is the sound of one hand clapping? And in our modern day, of course, we even see that in commercials. My son, what is the sound of one hand clapping? And they make fun of it, you know? That's so funny. Oh, isn't that silly? I mean, our reasoning, thinking minds, which is the master of this universe, which is the devil itself, that mind says, isn't that silly? Wow, that's funny. Oh, isn't that just ridiculous? And yet I tell you, the masters that handed those out were handing those out from a state of consciousness that was freed. There's nothing silly about it at all. The student would go back to their room and contemplate that. One hand clapping. What does that sound like? What does that sound like? What would that be? What's the hidden meaning in that? And they would come back before the master, and he would say, have you discovered the sound of one hand clapping? And they may wave one arm in the air, or they may say no, or they may say, is the hidden meaning this? And of course, he would just look at them and say, no, no, my son, no, my daughter, go back, contemplate some more. Now, this may take a year or two or three. Does that sound familiar? Suddenly, one day, one of the students in their quiet room, contemplating the sound of one hand clapping, gets to a blank wall, which is called nothingness. You get to the actual place where the mind can't get back any further, says Joel. Suddenly, there's absolute stillness as the Zen Buddhist student surrenders. No answer to this. In that moment of stillness, the living Christ, the Buddha mind, moves into them. There is an experience, an actual experience, and a release from the thoughts and things of this world. And the student smiles from ear to ear. They know the answer to one hand clapping. The answer is an experience. Now, the master calls the students from their individual rooms out to see him. So, my sons and daughters, have you discovered the sound of one hand clapping? He scans the room, and there, third from the left, that student is positively beaming. He knows the answer by experience to the sound of one hand clapping. He has had a spiritual experience. At that point, the master would say, "Come here. You stay behind. The rest of you go back to your rooms." He wouldn't even need any dialogue from that student, just looking at him. We carry our atmospheres. So, he says to the student, "So, you have realized." And the student says nothing back, there's nothing to say. And now he moves him into a more advanced class. Well, Joel here is doing the same thing for us. He's giving us a cone. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? And that's funny. You see that in commercials on TV too. Ha 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 ha. Isn't that funny? Ha ha. Yes, that's what the mind says. Isn't that funny? No, that's not funny at all. That's a cone to be meditated, to be contemplated, if necessary, for 2 to 3 years. In the end, you will arrive at the right place, where you ought to be, and where you want to be, which is no place, experiencing nothing, no thing. You will be suspended in the air trying to find the answer, contemplating reality from the standpoint of where did creation come from. You will get to an actual place where the mind can't get back any further. Finally, you'll come to an absolute place of stillness, where you'll say, "There is no answer." And then, in that very split second, the answer will appear, and you will see how all things spring out of nothingness. Now, this is an experience, and the mind can't go there. You also see why, of old, the word nothing was considered the greatest synonym for God, because there couldn't be any truer description of God than that. It is no thing that you can contemplate. It is no thing that you can witness. It is no thing at all, except in the sense of an experience. And as our little Zen master student discovered, the answer to his cone was an experience. And now Joel is trying to do the same thing for us in this Kailua study series. He's trying to take us to that place in meditation where we go beyond the mind. We leave the mind alone. We just let it fall. We look out at the problem and we say to ourselves, "No answer to this." We turn within to make the contact, and he says, "In this way, you will eventually get back to that place we are trying to bring forth in consciousness in this work that we're doing in the Kailua study group. The object of what we're doing is this: coming to a state of consciousness where you do not think healings into being, where you do not think them into being, where you realize no amount of thought is ever going to bring you the experience. All that you demonstrate is an emanation of the nothingness that you receive at the center of your own being." So now you have something to do for the next 2 or 3 years. You are to take this into meditation. You are to know there's no answer to this. Whatever this is you're looking at, there's no answer to this. You are to turn within and enter into all that you are, and all that you demonstrate is an emanation of the nothingness that you receive at the center of your own being. And so 12 times a day, and later he'll tell us in the middle of the night, we are to live with that. Live with that. With our back against the wall. I don't know what the experience will be like for you, but I know when you have it, like that Zen student, you will be smiling from ear to ear, and harmony will appear out here. Whatever your particular problem was will melt away without effort. I know your mind can't enter this place. But Joel says, in experiencing it, you will almost see the sins and diseases and lacks rolling right away from in front of you, as if just by a miracle, poof, and they're gone. Or you can see them gradually fade away. They just fade away because of nothing. And so now your task becomes to enter into meditation, to simply say, no answer to this, or thy grace is my sufficiency, and then to stand stock still and know no truth whatsoever. Just to enter into knowing that the nothingness at the center of your being has to answer. And you will sit and wait until nothingness responds. Now he is leading us through this class of cones to the place where we experience the deep, deep nothingness at the center of our beings. It's almost like bringing yourself into the rhythm of the universe and finding that the rhythm carries you. And yet, what is the rhythm of the universe, since nobody has ever seen it, touched it, tasted, or smelled or heard it? Here's another cone for you to take into meditation. What is the rhythm of the universe which nobody has ever seen, tasted, touched, smelled, or heard? There's another one which will bring you to that blank wall where you can do nothing but sit still, but stand still and see the movement of God. So while you are contemplating this invisibility, this unseen reality, appearing as form, while you are busying yourself right up here gently with that contemplation, way, way in the back of you, you will be creating a vacuum of personal sense. You see, silence means no personal sense. Silence means you reach the end of thinking. There's no answer to this. I'm going to wait for the experience. And all of a sudden, in a moment that you know not, in a moment that you think not, that reality will announce itself. It will reveal itself. And again, you will know it by the experience, by the feeling, and by its effect, or the fruits. But even then, you will not know it as of itself. You see what he's saying here? You see where he's trying to lead you? You see where I'm trying to lead you? First, out of the dishonest place that you might have found yourself, not on purpose, but because that's the way the mind works. It lies to you so that you will not dissolve it. It wants to stay in charge. And then, when we have the honesty and the courage, he's leading us to a cone, several cones, which if we will take, we will pass from the mind to our soul awareness, We will make the transition. And we'll know it by the experience, by the feeling, and by the result, or the fruits, which are harmony. So he says, it's literally true that in the beginning was the Word, or consciousness, awareness, the source of the Word. And out of that consciousness, all things emanated. The Master didn't have to have a few loaves and fishes. He could have done just what Moses did, bring it forth without one solitary seed to multiply. He had the consciousness of omnipresence, and out of the consciousness of omnipresence, all things emanated. Yes, it wasn't necessary for the prophet to have a few drops of oil either. All right. That's just about an hour. We're going to stop there. This is too deep to go farther yet this week. You have enough there. You have several cones. You know where you are. If you're being honest, you know where you are. You know what you need to do. We're going to wait before we get into the rest of this, because I would like to see you individually go into these cones. You have 12 periods a day. Take one, take two, take three. I don't care if it's the chicken and the egg, or looking at what we just discussed, which is, in the beginning was the Word, or consciousness, and out of that consciousness all things emanated. Well, the question there, the cone there, is how does, out of nothingness, all things emanate? Well, you can't answer that. There's no answer to this. You have to wait. You have to ask within. Father, what is consciousness? And then you have to be still. So still that the mind is not used, that you're just quiet and waiting. And then the experience comes. Now, which cone it is that's going to work for you, I do not know. And how many times you'll have to use it, I do not know. The master, when he tells the student, does not know how many months or weeks or even years it will take the student to come to the end of using the mind to discover the sound of one hand clapping. But he knows that the student, if the student persists, no matter how long it takes, in between his cleaning the temple, in between his gardening out in the garden, in between his meals of sampa and porridge, in between his drinking tea, in between his prayers that are to be said every day, there will be periods in which he can meditate. And sometime or another, sooner or later, each student will have that experience of stepping into their soul awareness. Then the answer to the sound of one hand clapping will be an experience. And Joel doesn't know. He admits it. I don't know if it's going to take you 1 or 2 or 3 years, but here are some things that you can use, some cones to take into your meditation to bring you to that place where you are before the infinite blank wall of infinite, invisible nothing. And you turn to it, away from the mind, which has these infinite variety of thoughts. You turn away from it in your meditation, and one of these days you actually turn towards the infinite nothing and await. And there's an experience. An experience that lifts you up and out of this world into another dimension. And as you have that experience and you float on that sea of spirit, I guarantee you, you're smiling from ear to ear. And as you open your eyes in your awakened state, harmony will appear. You don't bring it about. You don't make it happen. You're just as surprised as your neighbor. But harmony appears. Now that's what Joel's trying to bring you to, a state where you can reach that, where you can make that contact on a continuous basis. And more than that, make it so much so that the door is forever open and it forever flows forth. That emanates that infinite, invisible, no thing emanates as form, as you. Now that's where he's trying to bring us. And that's enough for today. I love you all. I realize what the struggles are. I'm in them myself. But where else would we go? Master, you have the words of eternal life. Where else would we go? I'm here for the duration. I love you. I know this works. Thank you, and God bless.